This is Ozarks at Large. With me on the phone from his home office in Fort Smith is Michael Tilley with Talk Business and Politics. Michael, a late November welcome back to Ozarks at Large.
Well, thank you. And I can't wait to get out of this home office on more of a regular basis. And just when this thing's over, I may just, I don't know, go stupid and work in parks and on sidewalks and just to get out.
Well, when this finally does get all over, you'll be searching for elbow room. I think a lot of people are going to be doing exactly that sort of thing.
Yeah, we're going to be sick and tired of our families.
Well, you know, some people, a lot of people, apparently are looking for new places to go with their families as home sales continue to be, in my mind, inexplicably robust in 2020. I've asked you before, help me figure this out.
Yeah, and I just continue when I received Ashley Milton. She's a broker, a realtor with Chuck Fawcett Realty here in Fort Smith, and she sends the numbers, and I've been working with her. I've known her for quite a while. If anyone else would have sent me these numbers, I'd have sent them back and said, you need to double-check. This cannot be correct. But, no, the home sales in the Fort Smith metro, it's five counties and then some areas in eastern Oklahoma are up 14.6% through October, January through October, almost 15%. In a regular year with no COVID, no economic disruption, that would be a hell of a year.
And
the pace is even growing. The sales growth through August was 11.2%. And even more impressive, I think, is that the value of those homes sold is in the whole metro area is a little over $518 million, which is up roughly 20%. So the value's up 20% compared in that 10 month period compared to the same period in 2019. So it continues to be the same story. When I talked to Ashley, it's low interest rates. I mean, that continues to be a driver. People are taking the opportunity to get, you know, buy more house and almost have the same mortgage. And also, you know, if you, as you said, if you're homeschooling or if you're on top of each other, you want a bigger backyard or whatever the case is, now's the time to move. And what's interesting is the, talking to Ashley, there's still the problem realtors have now. They could probably sell more homes. Those numbers are possibly constrained because there aren't enough homes to sell. The demand for people wanting to buy homes is greater than the supply.
The Fort Smith downtown, we've talked about that, and there's a downtown district. Something happened this week that I'm going to need a little bit of hand-holding and explanation. A commission approved a resolution that could lead to a six-mill assessment that could provide some sort of safety net for the downtown district. I'm already in over my head. Help me out.
Well, you're getting there.
Okay.
The Central Business Improvement District, it was formed, gosh, I think in the 70s, and it the first thing it did was build a downtown state office building. It's a somewhat autonomous governing body. It has the ability to issue bonds. It has the ability to essentially assess a tax. It's not a property tax per se, but it's an assessment on property in its district. And so they've been looking at this for well over 2 years now. And they've come to the conclusion that 1 mill, based on the property that's in the area, will raise about $50,000 a year. So they're looking at a 6 mill assessment. It raises obviously roughly about $300,000. They want to do a couple of things. One, they want to employ one, two, maybe three people, or work with the Fort Smith Police Department to hire kind of a safety and security person, someone that goes around, make sure that people who are living downtown feel safe. They're also looking at a program where they work with the city, leverage their dollars to improve the appearance, you know, with flower beds and other type of thing on Garrison Avenue and other parts of the district, lighting, that type of thing. So the CBID has approved this millage. Now they're going to send it. They have to get 51% approval of downtown property owners. And then if that happens, the formality then is it goes to the Fort Smith City Board of Directors. And they have to approve it. They don't have a choice.
When you say 51% of downtown property owners have to approve it, A, there is a specific district. B, how do they approve it? Just sign a petition? Is there some sort of formal vote among them?
Yeah, that's it. They draft a petition. They have an attorney who works to draft a petition, and then that goes out for signatures. And their members of the CBID talked about having some gatherings or events where they could explain what's going on. I think the CBID, though, they've been talking about this for long enough that most folks are aware of it.
Gotcha.
Keep in mind, these members of the CBID are downtown property owners. They're taxing themselves. They're not asking for anything. They're not willing to, you know, other folks to do what they're not willing to do.
It was a understandably difficult summer for Parrot Island Water Park. There were capacity limitations. People didn't want to go out as much. And when you have a difficult summer, you don't have as many people coming in. You don't make as much money. They're getting a bit of help after that rough summer.
Well, the city, and I always have to remind myself, the city of Fort Smith and Sebastian County government essentially co-own that park, and they have paid this group, American Resorts Management, to run it for them. Part of the agreement is that they will cover deficits, and this year the park operated with almost a $300,000 deficit, which, according to American Resorts, was primarily, if not entirely, the result of COVID. They got started later in the year, couldn't have as many people. They had increased costs to make it the area safer. So the city's going to pony up about $119,700, but $120,000 to subsidize another year. Now, it's not unusual. It's not a problem, but I think this will become a political problem if it continues. There was, when the water park was first discussed, some of the discussion was that it was going to be so popular that once the city and the county put in that upfront money, there wouldn't be big subsidy checks, you know, in the future. Well, here we go. But then I guess no one was planning on a global pandemic at the time.
Finally, last time we talked, we didn't know who any of the finalists for the Fort Smith A&P job were. Now we know not only finalists, we know who the next director is. It's Timothy Jacobson. What do we know about him? And what about media not being able to find out who the finalists were?
Yeah, well, Timothy Jacobson, pretty much what we know about him, he's from Osage Beach, Missouri. He's part of that Branson, that Southern Missouri tourism area. He was executive director of Lake of the Ozarks Convention and Visitors Bureau. I mean, we didn't get a lot of information about why they hired him. We didn't get any information about why they didn't hire the other folks. This was the most god-awfulest. If you want to write a chapter on how not to conduct the public's business, here you go. The A&P Commission and the City of Fort Smith refused just a clear, blatant violation of Arkansas's Freedom of Information Act. Couldn't provide finalist information, you know, their resumes or applications. We were still, as talk business politics, we're still trying to figure out how to respond to that, because we know that the problem is these city governments get away with it. Local prosecuting attorneys don't want to get involved. They don't want to go sue their friends on local governments for whatever reason. They just don't have the nerve or backbone to enforce the law. And so it leaves it up to folks like us who really don't have a lot of time or money to go pursue this, because if you do, then, and if you win in court, they essentially get a slap on the wrist. I'd like to be able to tell you more about this guy, more about why he hired him, but they went to great lengths to make sure that we don't get know that. I'm sure at some point we will, but right now I guess it's none of our business.
We'll have 2 weeks between our conversations, so maybe we'll find out more between now and then. Next Friday, we're taking the day off from a new show, the day after Thanksgiving, but you and I will talk again in December, if that's okay with you.
Sounds good to me. Bring it on. Bring one that's just another week closer to being finished with this pandemic.
Yeah, okay. I'll go with that. Michael Tilley is with Talk Business and Politics. You can read about all that we've talked about and much more at talkbusiness.net. Happy Thanksgiving, Michael. Talk to you in a couple of weeks.
All right. Thank you, sir.
Thank you.